Welcome to the Bozeman Brief, an AI-powered podcast on the city of Bozeman.
Today we're covering the June 17, 2026 meeting of the Historic Preservation Advisory Board, where members worked through draft criteria for a new local landmark program and received a detailed briefing on the city's existing demolition regulations for historic structures. This was also the final meeting for outgoing chair Chelsea Holland, who served on the board for 10 years.
The board handled a few FYI items before the main discussion. Community Development Director Aaron George announced that the Historic Preservation Planner position, vacated by Sarah Rosenberg, would post the following day. George noted the job description was updated to include historic preservation qualifications, saying the previous version was really just a planner position, and the city had been lucky to get Sarah with her experience. Deputy Director Rebecca also updated the board on the Neighborhood Conservation Overlay District Design Guidelines Project, noting a public survey is open through the end of June and a neighborhood focus group meeting is scheduled for July 9th.
The bulk of the meeting focused on the work session, led by consultant Adrian Burke from Community Planning Collaborative. The board had decided at its May meeting to continue developing the landmark program criteria, while the NCOD design standards undergo separate revision. Burke presented draft language for two components, the purpose statement and the designation criteria for the landmark program.
The draft purpose statement has three parts. First, connecting the community to heritage by recognizing sites with documented historic and cultural value. Second, encouraging protection and maintenance of those sites, with specific reference to health, safety, and welfare. Language Burke described as important for legal defensibility. Third, balancing preservation with private property rights, which Burke said is required for consistency with Montana state law.
The designation criteria use a three-part test. A property would need to meet all three. Part A, an age requirement. Part B, the ability to convey significance through physical, spatial, cultural, or intangible characteristics, with seven considerations listed as guidance. And Part C, meeting one or more of eight listed criteria covering things like association with heritage, events, notable persons, distinctive design, and creative achievement.
Board member Michael Wiseman raised a question about whether requiring just one criterion under Part C was sufficient, suggesting most properties worth considering would meet at least two. Burke argued for keeping it at one, citing situations where a property might have cultural significance tied to a single criterion. For example, a plain concrete block building important because of the person who operated a business there. Board member Danielle Nicholas agreed, noting that meeting parts A and B already filters applications. The board settled on retaining the one or more threshold.
The board also agreed to merge two of the eight criteria under Part C, aspect of heritage or culture, and theme, which members found redundant. That reduces the list to seven. Wiseman suggested the combined language read aspect or theme of heritage or culture, and Burke agreed. On the age requirement, board member Allison Brecky floated lowering it from 50 to 45 years, citing concern about 1970s-era architecture being demolished. But Chair Holling and others pointed out that 50 years is the National Register standard, and the threshold moves forward with time. Brecky ultimately said to keep 50 and move on.
There was discussion about the word significant in the purpose statement. Nicholas asked whether it referred to the quantity of documentation or the importance of the history. The board directed staff to explore adding a comma after significant for clarity, and to consider whether a formal definition is needed.
The second major topic was a briefing on the city's current demolition regulations. George walked through the three categories in the code: demolition of historic structures, non-historic structures, and unsafe structures. For historic structures, applicants must submit a certificate of appropriateness, along with an economic analysis comparing the cost of rehabilitation to habitable condition, against the cost of demolition and rebuilding the same type and scale of structure. George described this process as difficult for applicants, who often include optional upgrades in their cost estimates. If the analysis shows rehabilitation costs less than demolition and rebuild, demolition is denied, and a 2-year stay is imposed.
Planning manager Brian Kruger, who has 20 years of historic preservation experience, explained the case-by-case complexity. He described how a foundation issue or knob and tube wiring might or might not trigger extensive rehabilitation requirements depending on specific conditions. It's really a simple math problem, Kruger said, though he acknowledged getting to those numbers that are accurate, defensible, and truthful can be a challenge.
The board reviewed demolition data. From 2018 through mid-2026, the number of approved demolitions within the NCOD varied year to year, with 14 approved in 2025, though only one of those was a contributing or eligible structure. Rebecca noted that in the past 3 years, only 3 demolitions of contributing or eligible structures were approved. She also pointed out that approved applications don't always align with when residents observe demolition activity on the ground.
Discussion touched on the city's historic property inventory, with 2,412 properties surveyed out of 2,797 parcels in the NCOD. The comprehensive survey dates to 1984, with limited updates since. George said the city has requested $100,000 in the fiscal year 2028 budget for new survey work. Burke noted that best practice calls for updates every 5 to 10 years, though she acknowledged that's uncommon. Her previous employer in Miami had a 40-year-old survey covering over 200,000 properties.
2 members of the public commented. Rick Karen, a Cooper Park resident, said demolition is starting to creep into our South Side neighborhood and called it an existential threat to the integrity of our core neighborhoods, though he acknowledged some homes aren't salvageable and said his focus is on ensuring replacement structures fit the neighborhood's character. Natsuki Nakamura, a Midtown renter, supported new inventory work and raised concerns about demolition by neglect.
Near the end of the meeting, the board established a 3-member subcommittee, Wiseman, Brecky, and board member Ashley Wilson, to work on demolition code issues between meetings. The subcommittee will report back at future board meetings. Staff noted a deconstruction ordinance raised by public commenters and referenced in the Phase 1 report falls outside the current project scope and would likely be led by the city's sustainability division.
So in sum, the board provided direction on the landmark program's purpose statement and designation criteria, agreed on the 50-year age threshold and 1 or more standard for criteria, and formed a subcommittee to dig into demolition code revisions. The NCOD Design Guidelines Project will be the focus of the July meeting. This has been a CivicCast AI production. Review the meeting video at bozeman.net to verify accuracy. Thank you for your interest in local government.